गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवार धारे, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवार धारे, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन यमुना तीरावन चारे, तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद जीवन ग्रेसी श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की जय, हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 29। यथा वार्तदयो Okay, I think by mistake they wrote the verse from the purport. This verse is quoted in the purport of this text. So maybe try to see if you have smartphones or like try to repeat. Yatha vartadayo hya artha yogasya artham na bibhrati अनर्थाय भवेयुः स्म पूर्तम् इष्टं तथा असतः। यथा वार्तादयो ह्यर्थावार्तादयो योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। यथा वार्तादयो ह्यर्था योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। यथा वार्तादयो ह्यर्था योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। यथा वार्तादयो यर्था योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। यथा वार्तादयो ह्यर्था योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। यथा वार्तादयो ह्यर्था योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुस्म पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. If one becomes very rich through his professional activities, through trade or through agriculture, this does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. Although the purpose of life is to become spiritually rich, unfortunate men, misguided as they are always engaged in trying to become materially rich. Such material engagements, however, do not help one in the actual fulfillment of human mission. On the contrary, material engagements lead one to be attracted to many unnecessary necessities which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in degraded condition. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.18, Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaganya guna uttistha adho gacchanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Especially in the Kali Yuga, material advancement means degradation and attraction to many unwanted necessities that create a low mentality. Therefore, jaganna guna vrittistaha, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in estimation of unintelligent man, but factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरो दीनतारिणं Hare Krishna. I seek blessings of all my seniors so that I can speak something for glorification of Lord and purification of heart. First of all, I beg forgiveness. Many of you must be disappointed. Auntie Nitin Pran Prabhu was supposed to speak, somehow I landed up. So today's verse is very kind of practical demonstration of this, how this world currently is, you know, moving around. So Prabhupada very nicely mentions three things in this purport. First, he says that the richness one has nothing to give and take with the spiritual advancement. Second point he is making is that we try to collect many unnecessary necessities in a life which causes a further bondage and degradation. And towards last, he is making that just a show of religion without Krishna consciousness can't help us. So we'll see this, you know, three main points during this discussion. So everyone, as a human, even animals, basically they are trying to look for happiness, right? You know, by nature is, you know, anandamayo bhyasat. Everyone is trying to look for happiness, and for that they try to acquire the thing. So for humans, the general conception is that more I have, more I'll be happy. Isn't it true? But actually it is not. So that means if all, like, you know, whoever is in the Forbes, you know, wealthiest people in the world, they should be happy. But no, we just, like, you know, many people when they were interviewed, they said, no, you know, I have all wealth, but I'm not happy. And that is, you know, starking reality. And then many people from those families, we've seen that they have committed suicides. Many, you know, actresses who are in the peak of their, like, you know, fame, big personalities, depression, and then, you know, into drugs and all those, you know, problems. Why? So if the point is that if having more will make us happy, that doesn't hold true then. So the equation of happiness we need to understand very correctly. So happiness is not directly proportional to what we have. That means it doesn't mean that if I have more, I'll be more happy. More I have, more I'll be happy. No, that is wrong. So is it true then if I have less, I'll be happy? That also not true. Otherwise all the beggars would be the happiest people, because they don't have anything, right? So that equation is also not true. So then do we say that, okay, happiness is just if I have enough riches? No, that also is not, you know, true. Many middle class people, they are struggling to, you know, make more money. You know? So basically, happiness has nothing to give and take with what we have in terms of material riches. Somehow, the propaganda is so much that, you know, if you have this car, you will be happy. If you have this suit, you will be happy. If you have a house in, you know, Beverly Hills, California, you will be happy. So just propaganda is so much made by the consumeristic industry to sell their own product, that by the influence of whole society, everyone tries to think that more I have, more I'll be happy. And then another misconception on top of it is that if I have more riches, I'm even spiritually advanced. So that Prabhupada, you know, at the start, he clearly, you know, says that, you know, if one becomes very rich through his professional, that does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. That means material riches has nothing to give and take with the happiness in this world. At the same time, it has nothing to give and take with the spiritual advancement. Now, so the Vedic literatures, they speak then how to get happiness, because even Vedas, they promise happiness. But the premise there is to understand that we are not body, but we are spirit souls. So if I don't know who am I, you know, there is no question I can be happy. So if the fish, Prabhupada's, you know, famous example used to say, if the fish is out of water, he can't be happy with anything. We have heard this millions of times. And then we have told this also, shared with friends millions of times. But if we are convinced of this fact, then all this concept will be like, you know, crystal clear. So fish cannot be happy in water. Same way, as a spirit soul, we cannot be happy unless we are back in service of the Supreme Lord. Very simple. It's very difficult to understand. Why? Because of this whole propaganda. So it is therefore said in the Vedic aphorism, it starts with Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Athato Brahma Jigyasa means therefore you should inquire. So when we say therefore, that means I have said something before, and then only say, okay, I have said this, therefore you do now this. So the Vedic aphorism starts with therefore, to indicate that since you have got this human form of life, therefore inquire. Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with Him? Why am I suffering? The basic questions. And when we inquire this, that makes us different from the animals, and that will lead us to real happiness, which we are looking for. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he came to know that, you know, he is about to die in 7 days, the questions he asked to the sages is, please tell us a duty of a human being, and especially for those who are about to die. Now Parikshit Maharaj was having, you know, a notice. She had a 7 days. Does anyone of us knows how much more time we are going to live? No. There can be earthquake. Now all of us might be gone. And then maybe after 2 days, after 1 week, maybe after 100 years. So problem with us is we don't know even when our life is going to end. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj used to say, like in 7th canto, he beautifully says that one should start Krishna consciousness at the age of 5. We are too late. But then better, you know, better than never. So we should start taking. So we have to be convinced of this fact that richness has nothing to give and take with happiness, and richness has nothing to give and take with spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada then goes on speaking that material engagements leads one attracted to many unnecessary necessities which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition. So you'll see this is a very interesting term. Unnecessary necessities. So if we see this whole, currently whole civilization on earth planet, it has been driven by consumerism. Consumerism simple means I have some product, I want to sell it. And to do that, I'll do anything and everything. So, in one of the lecture, one devotee was telling that he went to a shop and he wanted to buy a paint for temple. So then he asked the shopkeeper that which paint is the best. So he showed the two boxes of paint and he said both are equally good. But he says one paint has a picture of a half-naked lady, so it sells more than the other paint which doesn't have. So what does that mean? That means the media, the advertising agency, they are utilizing our emotions, psychological inclinations to get us buy things, to make us, you know, buy a particular thing. Prabhupada tells in one of the example, you know, is tobacco necessary? Is smoking necessary or drinking necessary? No, but, you know, a successful man, and they'll show, you know, somebody speaking, you know, says, you know, seeking cigarette, you know. And then he'll pay, like, you know, I had heard that there was one very famous TV, this Hollywood star who was, you know, employed by the cigarette company for their advertise. And later, by smoking, he got a cancer. And then he sued the company itself whom he was advertising for. So, it's unnecessary. So, you take any... So, we can confidently say that the necessities of life are not advertised outside. So if we carefully look at the billboards, what advertise are comforts and luxuries. They are not necessities. Nobody advertised that, you know, purchase rice, purchase water. Nobody. They may advertise their brand, okay, you know, purchase this, like, you know, say McDonald's may say purchase, you know, burger from me, and then that, you know, 7-Eleven may say that purchase from me or whatever. But basic necessities, everyone knows that they'll get it. Nobody will advertise it. But the maximum advertise, if we see, it's about, you know, drinks, alcoholic drinks, and then cars, and then, you know, very luxurious items. I was like, first time when I was coming to US, in the plane they have that Sky Mall, you know, this thing, that they have that small booklet wherein they have advertisement. So I was just curious, you know, what all they say. So there are fancy headphones and, you know, and whatnot, shoes and, you know, this thing. So one particular advertisement, you know, it like, you know, my attention went to it. So it was a clip. So what it promised is that the many of the ladies, they wear that, you know, pointed shoes. They are like this, very pointed. So the description said that when you use these shoes to look very stylish and very fashionable, the fingers, they'll go, you know, on top of each other because the front part is so small, right? So you wear those shoes, look fashionable, and then you purchase this clip, and then once you remove the shoes in night, you put that clip between your fingers so that they again become straight. I was like flabbergasted. I said, you know, what, you know, are they making a fool? Like, you know, what is this? That means you create a problem, and to solve that, you sell another problem. Neither the finger pointing shoes are necessary, nor the clip is necessary. But to get that, and to spend, you know, $50 or whatever is that, I have to work like a donkey. And that's what the whole civilization is making us do. They are projecting things which we really don't need. And for that, they are making us to work more and more and more. And then, what is the satisfaction? Okay, once I have, say, like, you know, once I have a trendy car, you know. Then what satisfaction is? Satisfaction is I show it to others. And when they tell me that, yes, so nice car, then my ego is satisfied, and that's actually satisfaction. That's what people say. So, how it's really interesting how this mind phenomena works. So, as, you know, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says in second chapter, Dhyayato Vishayan Punsan, one contemplates on this object of senses. So, say a new iPhone, you know, I want an iPhone. And, or, you know, I want a car. So, that mind is oscillating a lot, you know, up and down. I want. And there is so much, like, you know, because of that, you know, intelligence is not able to work. So, okay, how should I get a loan? Shall I take a EMI? Shall I borrow from a friend? Or shall I steal? Whatever. Do whatever. I want a car. So, I get a car. So, what happens is that, once I get a car, that oscillation of mind, like, you know, want, it settles down a little bit because I have now. So, that settlement is what one feels as, you know, peace. So actually, it is no positive bliss. It is just, you know, temporary cessation of mind troubling. And then what happens is that a new model comes, or an electric car comes, or Tesla announces a new car. And then what? I want that car. And the neighbor has that car. I want that car. So, again start. So, actually, the thing is not giving happiness, but since just that mental satisfaction of having that particular object for some time relieves mind of that anxiety of having it, that gives satisfaction. But what follows is, again, further more misery. Somebody hits the car and there is a scratch. It is as if I have a, you know, dent in my heart. You know, oh, somebody hit my new car. And then again, maintenance, insurance, and, you know, it just, you know, unnecessary necessities. And what happens is that the worst part of it is that we lose time. We just now saw that nobody knows when we are going to die, and then we are trying to be happy. It's not happening. And if we follow the propaganda of this world, what's happening is that we are losing this precious human time. It said in second canto, Ayur harati vaipumsam uddam astanchayannaso yasyarthe yakshano nita uttam ashloka vartaya. With every rising and setting of a sun, we are one day closer to death. Starking reality. And if we really think, we'll be on our toes to practice spiritual life. But one who follows, you know, Krishna conscious principles is one day closer to Lord. So, the problem with all this unnecessary necessity is that we lose time. Another example. We have this Thanksgiving sale, Black Friday, right? And then in middle of night, on Thursday night, people are being, you know, queuing up, you know, in front of Best Buy, Walmart, Costco, whatever shops they have. You know, people are on their computers, just, you know, deal, you know, door busters. You know, heard that, all that stuff. And then people land up buying things which they really don't need. Why? Just because it was 80% off, 90% off, just because it was free on something which I never wanted it. And we just pile up that in a home which we never use it. And then pay the whole year the EMIs for it. And we miss the EMI, then the bank charges charges on it. We screw up our credit history and we are more into trouble. And to fix that, we again more work for the things which we really don't need at all. So Prabhupada used to say we should have simple living, high thinking. Simple living doesn't mean I need not have a phone or something. I should have a good phone, and if my services, you know, demand, I need to have internet and everything. I can even have a smartphone, that's perfectly fine. But to be always, okay, now this model is out, I want to take this. Now after 2 months, this, you know, another company has launched new model, let me take this. Now after 3 months, this is the new trend, let me take this. These are unnecessary necessities. We have to be very careful. So one devotee was telling very nicely, simple living means we have a good, healthy food to eat, we have nice clothing to wear, we have a comfortable house. Need not be very luxurious, but you know, heating is working properly, and then there is, you know, a nice AC for a summer. Whatever, like, you know, basic required things, we have good water to drink, and then like, you know, all the basic necessities. And then we do, like, you know, whatever extra time we have, that we spend in trying to, you know, advance in Krishna consciousness. So now what happens is that due to this propaganda of this unnecessary necessities, there is a no distinction between how much is too much and how less is too less. And there has been always debate, you know, even in devotee circle, you know, I have to save for future, I have to save for this, that, and so I have to. So it's all upon, like, you know, individual's choices, but we have to be really take on stock of our, like, you know, belongings and see, do I have few things which are really necessary to me or not? One devotee was sharing to me, like, you know, he sees that if there is something which he doesn't use for 30 days or something, he'll put it in, you know, some other places, not in day-to-day, you know, this thing. And if he doesn't use there even for 1 year or something, he just, you know, either donates it or does something. That means trying to reduce. So he's a brahmachari actually. He says that, you know, joy of having less, you know. He speaks about that. So, but is the whole point is that we should try to avoid unnecessary necessities. And to avoid this, we have to be very vigilant to be a safeguard against this commercial propaganda. There was an interesting article wherein they analyze. You all know about this beauty pageants, Miss Universe, Miss India, Miss US, all those competitions they held. So couple of years back, suddenly from India, there were, like, you know, there was a Miss Universe from India, there was Miss, you know, World from India, and, you know, so many accolades, you know, went to India. And then after that, you know, for so many years, nobody won that competition from India. They were winning from South Africa and you know, other places, whatever. So this study, it showed that actually all these competitions have been organized by this cosmetic industry. And when they want to launch their product in a particular country, they'll make some popular figure in that country as the winner. And since he wins, so one of the conditions is that he has to advertise then for them, because he wins and he gets a lot of, you know, money, you know, as a gift. And then when he advertises it, their whole product goes to that industry. And then the whole market is open. And then once the base is set there, they move on to next country, and the winner is from next country. So actually it has nothing to give and take with actual beauty or whatever. It is all, you know, triggered towards how I can sell my product in a particular country. And that's with all fields of life. There are, you know, a published, you know, paid researches which, you know, tells people that, okay, a particular thing is good, so that the industry is, you know, flourish based on that. And later, you know, they come to know, okay, it's bad, you know. It's like that. So we have to be very safeguard against this unnecessary necessities of life. And how we can do, and then another problem of this is, one, we lose time. And second, as Prabhupada mentions, and the verse which is here from Purport, Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhyaya tishtati rajasa jaganya guna vrittistam adho gacchanti tamasa. So what happens is that to earn money, it's not that there is a cutthroat competition. there are 10 more people, like, you know, like those who are working outside. There is, like, you know, so many people, you know, trying to go ahead, you know, trying to push us down. So everyone is naturally very, you know, passionate to earn money. And then they land up doing things which leads them to ignorance, or they, like, you know, they buy because of this propaganda, like, you know, say smoking, drinking and all these bad habits, which will push them into ignorance. And once that happens, what's happening is that adho gacchanti tamasaha, we are risking to take birth as animals. Such a loss in a human form of life. We have got this birth after, like, you know, already wandering from 8.4 million species of life, and now just because of this whole propaganda in this world, it is like you are, you know, again going. So it's like, you know, in a prison, prison is for reformation. But in prison you do, you know, all the, you know, you form a gang and try to do, you know, ethical activities. What happens is that you are confined to, you know, more rigorous prison. You may be put into a solitary prison. You may be put into one, you know, island just to, you know, to, you know, live alone and die. So the same thing, human form is given to get out of this prison of, you know, which has this cycle of birth, old age, disease, death. But due to this unethical propaganda and, you know, just, you know, going with the whims of mind, what's happening is that we are risking the human life, and we may just land up again into animal form of life. And again suffering birth, old age, disease, death, plus, you know, there is miseries caused by one's own body and mind, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, miseries caused by other living entities, and miseries caused by nature, adhidevika. So, therefore, we have to nourish our intelligence so that, and then all these whims, they have been driven by mind. Like another article was saying that in Walmart or any super shoppy, you know, they have aisles, and then you, like, you know, if you observe carefully, you purchase, so suppose if you purchase to go toothpaste, then immediate next aisle will have a soap, and then immediate next aisle will have a shampoo, and then immediate next aisle will have, you know, the, so one may purchase, one may go to purchase a particular thing, but he may land up purchasing 10 other things because they have just, they have been psychological, like, you know, they employ psychiatrists to design this, you know, how the way product should be labeled, how the way product should be, you know, put, showcased and marketed and all those things. There's a whole scientific industry behind this. Why? To push us into this unnecessary necessities of life. So we have to nourish our intelligence by, you know, regularly reading Bhagavatam, hearing from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so clear. So towards the end also, Prabhupada, you know, like the third point was Prabhupada was makes is that making a show of a religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent man, but factually such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all, will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. So many times, so we saw that, okay, first of all, like, you know, richness, nothing has to give with happiness, neither is spiritual life at all. And second, we saw that how this unnecessary necessities, they waste our time and they put us into, like, you know, a situation where we may land up in, you know, animal form of body. Now the third point Prabhupada is saying, now some people may try to become religious. So they have some understanding, okay, we are not body, we are soul, we should, you know, worship God. But then there is a huge section wherein it is just a show. Okay, I am also spiritual. I also have a guru. Where is my guru? It's on my wall, hanging in a photo. And what the guru does? I go to him once in a year. I give him a dakshina. He gives a nice smile. And then he, you know, gives me a garland or flower from his neck. And then he blesses me. And that's what my guru does. This is what? This is all making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness. One devotee was telling that nowadays, first of all, it's very rare to see people, you know, following any religion. But those who are following, they are following just as a kind of, you know, like on a plate. Like suppose we have a pizza, we have some toppings, right? We spread some what do you call it? The chili peppers or something, right? So they have a sense gratification as their base. And they spread some spiritually on top of it to look it nice, to feel it nice. Because then the mind is also peaceful. You know, I done my part. I go to God once in a month. Or I come to temple. Oh, you do come to God. I come to temple very regularly. Even once in a year on Janmashtami day. Very regular. Last 30 years, I never missed it. So it is what? I have my base as sense gratification and I am topping it with the religion. That's what it's happening. Actual, the staple food should be the core spiritual practices. It is not that. It is just for show. That's why he says. And then that may make one very popular. Like there were many politicians in India, like some of the president in India, they wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Very popular. Okay, he's a politician, but at the same time, you know, he's such an advanced person in spiritual life. Prabhupada clearly smashes, this is not at all wrong. So, material advancement doesn't have to take. So Prabhupada is even saying that even a show of religion is not going to be helpful. Then in later in purports, Prabhupada says that even one who is taken to Krishna consciousness, if we are not serious enough and if we have this same tendency as that of person just trying to look sense gratification in Krishna consciousness, that's also us, not going to purify us. So it is like, we have a you want to cook something, but you take this essence stick and put below it on a cooking pot, and you have a big pot. Is it going to cook? So if we have our tendencies for looking sense gratification, and if we are not endeavoring, taking guidance in improving our own spiritual life, then we may have a fire, but it's like that, small essence stick. It's not going to cook. We may take birth as a neophyte, birth after birth. So therefore, Prabhupada not only tells that, he guards us against this, superficial display of religion, but also he takes that when we take to spiritual life, we should take it with wholeheartedly. That's why Prabhupada given this, name of this moment, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Consciousness is that what we have to look for moment after moment. Okay, one moment I may be Krishna conscious, but I have to keep striving it. One moment I may be chanting nicely, but I have to keep striving it. So there is forces of Maya which may take us, back and forth, from our goal. But we have to keep doing it. So this way, Prabhupada very nicely tells that we have to be very careful about this unnecessary necessities and guard against them so that we are not thrown again in the degraded stage of life. And then we see that these one more facet of this is when we have this so many comforts, we don't feel need of God. So if I have a lot of riches, and then I'm so-called practicing also, but then that intensity is not there. Everything is going fine, and then things are going the way I want. So let me practice Krishna consciousness the way at my own space. We are in that comfort zone. So that also we have to be always checking with us. That's why devotees like Kunti Maharani, she prays that, this Janmaishwari Shuta Shivi, Enaman Madhapuna Puman, that means all this, riches, erudition, high birth, they are all actually disqualification because they tend us to make us slacken. So of course, there are examples of devotees who are pure devotees and who had all these opulences. In Chaitanya Leela is classic example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was a royal king. He's as good as a king, wearing silken robes, having people around him, panning him, and then, looking in a mirror, and, chewing betel nuts, Nobody will figure out whether he's a devotee or, you look exactly like materialistic. But when the, Mukunda sang this, verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna's merciful nature, who gave a position of a nurse to even a person like demoness, like Putna, who came to kill her, he went into ecstasy, he went into trance. So, if by Krishna's will, we have these opulences, so if I have a nice job, well-paying job, does that mean, anyway, I have money, unnecessary necessities, should I just leave it? No, use it in Krishna's service, Yukta Vairagya, Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami tells so nicely. that, you know, you, whatever you have, use in, you know, devotional service. And then another aspect of it is that when we go to visit sadhus, we should not ask material blessings. We should ask spiritual blessings. And then many rich people, they go to sadhu and they think that they know spirituality much better, and they give lecture, you know, and they give some donation for hearing him, and they come back. And then those who are, like, you know, behind money, so-called sadhus, they also listen to him and they just, you know, smile and then just leave. But actual, real sadhu is one, when in touch with him, so there are three things should happen. There should be a spiritual discourse, like the sadhu should speak, the person should hear, and there should be heart transformation. When Prabhupada first time met, you know, Alfred Ford, he did not say, oh, you are, like, you know, Ford, please come, and, like, you know, how, you know, he did not go. What he said, where is your grandfather, Henry Ford? And he was shocked. And then he spoke to him about, you know, the science of soul and, like, you know, reincarnation and all those aspects. So this is, you know, real sadhu. So when we approach real sadhu, we should not ask for material blessings. That also, like, you know, point can be driven from this. So we saw three things. It is, first one, we saw that the goal of life is to be happy, but the happiness has nothing to give and take with riches. And especially, you know, a spiritual advancement has nothing to give and take with richness. If you really want to be happy, you have to understand spiritually we are not body, we are spirit soul, and we can be happy only when we go back to our original nature, that is, you know, serving Lord. Then we saw that how, due to the propaganda of unnecessary necessities, we have a risk that if we are not vigilant, we may be born in a degraded form of life, because it drives us to work more in a very unethical way to earn more money so that we can have those things and pretend they are happy. And then one more small observation, that when we get this, all these unnecessary necessities, what we tend to do, we want to show off. One may say that, but no, I don't show off. But we see so many posts on Facebook, you know, brought a new iPhone. So they open a cover, first picture. They fold it, second picture. And they have, like, you know, series of picture, and then final picture with the iPhone, as if they have got a, you know, Krishna prem with their hand and their photo. So that means what you are doing show off, right? Whatever is there nowadays, you know, goes back to, you know, Facebook. That's also, you know, so that is, you know, showing off the unnecessary necessities. Of course, it can be used in Krishna service also, like, you know, we can show, yesterday we had a nice Ram Navami. Here is a photo of, you know, Kishore Kishori, you know, Lord Ram. So therefore, we have to be vigilant against the unnecessary necessities of the life. And third thing Prabhupada says is that just making a show of religion will not help us in solving the real problem of life, that getting out of this cycle of birth and death. We have to be spiritual. There's a difference between, you know, religion and spiritual. So what is that? Okay, religion is a way to express our love and devotion to the Lord. But the actual, so it's like if I have a letter, so there is a letter. I can have a, say, A4 size paper or color size, or I may have a, you know, tailor-made embroidered. But what important is what the words are in the letter, what I'm going to write. So, you know, religiosity, whatever, like, you know, forms of worship we have, that is a way to express what consciousness we have. So therefore, we have to be spiritual. We have to be Krishna conscious. And how we can be that? Do that? Prabhupada has given so nice, simple way that, you know, morning program, association of ABCD, association of devotees, reading Prabhupada books, chanting, and, you know, eating Krishna prasad. So when we do that, then our intelligence will be strong and stout, and we won't, we can prevent our mind from going into the loop of unnecessary necessities. Thank you so much. Any questions, comments? Yes, Maharaj.
I have one question. So you said that when a person meets a sadhu, three things should happen, right? Like, one, there should be a spiritual discourse. And second, there should be a transformation in the heart. So what is the third thing, Prabhu?
So if I'm not, it's submission, I think. So I'm approaching a spiritual master, so I should I should be submissively, I should have submission to hear from him. We should not go with the tendency that, okay, you know, say, you know, I am a president of company, let him tell me, you know, how I made, you know, so much advancement in my company, and then, you know, these are my future plans. And we should not go to tell our greatness. We should know that, this is best example of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. When they approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were erudite scholars, you know. They were ministers in this, and they were most intelligent fellows. They were knowing 18 languages. And what they say that, people say that we are intelligent, but we are fools. We don't know who am I, what is purpose of life. Actually, they were knowing, but as a great acharyas, they were telling how one should approach. So we should approach in that submissive manner. And then, when seeing that submissiveness, the spiritual teacher, he imparts the knowledge, which may not be many times palatable to our heart, but we should still, you know, hear it, and that should lead to heart transformation. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. It is very nice the way you related the Bhagavatam to the practicality of life.
Yes, Prabhupada's glory. Yeah, Prabhupada's purports are. So, otherwise, if we read the shloka, you know, the actually word to word translation, I'll see. Anartha, that, you know, without value, that is one of the word in the verse. And then Prabhupada has so nicely explained what that anartha is, that, you know, unnecessary necessities. So, all Prabhupada's mastermind to give his purpose. I remember a nice anecdote past time of Prabhupada. Once one person, he purchased Prabhupada books, and then he was reading all translation, but he was skipping purports. So Prabhupada came in his dream and he said, "You will not understand anything. Read the purport, they are for you." And that person actually, he later told to devotees, and then he started reading purport, he became a wonderful devotee. So all glories, you know, goes to Prabhupada. He so nicely, it's these are the Bhagavatam verses, they are very, it's a jewelry box, very tightly packed. Each word is gem. But as a Kali Yuga people, we are like monkeys. We don't know what to do with it. But Prabhupada has, unfolded it and told it in practical way, how we can apply it. So, it's Prabhupada's mercy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I was appreciating also Narada Muni's sort of instruction in the verse that not only point out what you brought so nicely in the class about the futility of trying to achieve happiness through material acquisitions, but he also equated that with performing Vedic rituals without being a devotee. How also we are futile attempt to obtain happiness and, a spiritual advancement. So although you may think that by doing Vedic rituals, it's a religious activity, it's not a gross material, a pursuit of, okay, the new thing after 3 months, the other new one, and like that, you know. It's in a much more subtle space, but nevertheless, they have the same result. The verse says that in the same way that by pursuing material, advancement it won't result in a spiritual advancement, but it actually will result in material entanglement. That's what it says.
Yeah.
It will result in material entanglement in the same way. That's what what you take from that. In the same way, performing Vedic rituals without being a devotee will also entangle you materially. It won't elevate you. So there is no happiness with that. So it's quite a strong, statement right there by Narada Muni.
Yeah. Thank you for adding that. I think the yesterday's verse also was speaking this on the same line to what you just now shared. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulative principle, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor of frustration. So very true. Thank you for sharing. Fine tuning it more. Okay. Any other comments? Questions? Okay. Thank you so much. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gautri Mandir.